Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napson.
I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
And I'm Jennifer Landa.
And we are here to look at Star Wars news. It's breaking news from a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. And post-celebration, a little bit lighter on the news, which is okay. Even Star Wars newscasters need a little bit of a break as we all recover from the fun at Star Wars celebrations. We're going to get to some fun stories today that are about dream headcanon meetings and characters returning and a lot of fun there. Before we do that, we're going to remind you that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4center. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. So we are going to dive into the news like we do in a bit. We're going to catch up. But first, Joseph and I have a very important question. So, Jennifer Landa, what did you do at Star Wars Celebration?
Finally, I can talk about it. Yay! The video is up on the Disney Plus YouTube channel. I was a correspondent for What's Up Disney Plus, which is their show that they have where they share the latest news on Disney Plus and things like that. So I was their celebration reporter.
Nice.
It was incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Beautiful.
So people- yeah, I'm... Go on. Yes, please.
No, I was just going to ask you what it was like to kind of day to day. Like, how much work did you do for that great clip?
Yeah, you're right. Exactly. It's like 3 minutes, but we did. I mean, we got up at like, we were there at 8 a.m. Both days. Yeah. Like actually more like 7:45. And the crazy thing was, is I think I woke up at like 5:45, 6 o'clock the first day. And I looked outside my window, which was out. I could see the convention like walkway. Mm. And there were already like, crowds of people that first day. And I was like, all right, this is going to be a good celebration. And people in costumes. It was incredible. So I was excited to meet people, you know, cosplayers and things like that. Check out the Mandalorian experience. And then the icing on the cake was being able to talk to some of the Star Wars actors and creators. And you guys, I wish you could have been there with me because, you know, seeing these people in real life, like from, I mean, they're our heroes, right? I mean, legends, Phil Tippett. Joe Johnston,
wow.
Ashley Eckstein, Ewan McGregor, like they came into our little area backstage and God bless the Disney Plus people. They were like grabbing them. Come just, we're going to do like a quick little interview. And it just was. What I think what really blew me away was how nice, like genuinely nice and happy to be there everyone was. Like you could hear the fan stage, you could hear the crowd like screaming. And then, you know, that was sometimes like in her interview, but like everyone was just really, they love the fans. Like it's not for show, you know what I mean? And I feel like that's kind of unusual, I think.
Yeah. I just think it's a powerful thing to be making something, if you're a writer, creator, producer, actor, whatever, director, and you're making something with a theoretical audience in your mind, and they become this sort of, an audience becomes a concept, right? Mm-hmm. And then you go to something like Celebration, particularly that fan stage, which is literally a fan stage, right? It's just people sitting in a warehouse-like space in costume waiting for you to scream your name, right? And applaud for you and know your thoughts. And to not only see that whole group, but then also to like, if you're sitting there and you're Ewan McGregor and you're literally seeing like, well, there, that's person's wearing my Padawan braid. You know, that person's dressed up as I think that's a mountain of porgs, right? And they're suddenly real, you know, the effect that must have. The audience isn't a concept. They're real people. They really get joy about it. It's not just the critics. It's not just the snark on Twitter. It's the audience is real.
Mm-hmm. Right, I don't know how they deal with it, because let me tell you, when Hayden Christensen and Ewan McGregor were on that fan stage, I believe it was so loud, like it shook my body. It was so loud. And I thought, what must that be like to be on the receiving end of that love? And they couldn't be more down to earth. Like, that's the amazing. They came in. Ewan McGregor was so nice, so personable, saying hello to everyone. No Hollywood attitude, which is shocking. I used to work at E! Entertainment News back in the day. And I saw a lot of celebrities. And let me tell you, a lot of them are not very nice. So this was really a delight. Because, you know, when you meet your heroes, you want them to be nice people. And thankfully, everyone was. So
Yeah.
Jim, where were you? You were situated behind like the Star Wars live show, where were they just grabbing people from there?
Yes. So literally as they were coming off the stage, and that added to the excitement, we didn't sometimes know who we were going to get or they were like, we're getting so-and-so. No, Ron Howard is walking in. Okay, great. So it was really, really exciting. Kept me on my toes I mean, I got to ask Kathleen Kennedy, you know, if you built your own droid, what would it do? She was like, okay. I think she answered like she would have it do her like dishes or housework or something like that. So it was really neat.
Who was the most emotionally affecting for you to be just having a nice, fun, casual conversation with? Was it Kathleen Kennedy?
You know, it was actually, Kathleen Kennedy was fantastic, but Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau, because they came in, sorry, there's the trash truck.
It's okay, Jed. It's a trash truck droid, isn't it?
Right.
It's doing the housework.
Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau were so generous with their time. They kept chatting. And I was like, this is amazing. Oh my gosh, I can ask them more questions. Okay, how about the Ahsoka show? Like, I was so shocked by just how like friendly and open they were. And I just it was really, and again, they love the fans. They are fans themselves, you know? And so that really struck me. And I thought, here's these two legends. They created the volume. So, I mean, like, there's just so much. Yeah. Like, they're visionaries, right? And here they are just like, let me tell you about my Star Wars memory when I first saw it. Like, just incredible. Absolutely incredible.
That's so great. Yeah. And so it is so great to just see all the different vibes. And we've talked about it on the show. There are actors who are like, yeah, no, I've seen different Star Wars and I like them, but I'm not a, you know, convention person. But you get the feeling, particularly with Filoni, that if that, you know, infamous interview he had with Lucas went the other way, that Filoni would still be at this celebration dressed as Plo Koon, right? And he'd probably be a creator somewhere else making something else amazing. But right. He'd still be as much of a fan as he is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And one last thing I'll say is Diego Luna came in with Genevieve O'Reilly, and he had just come in from Spain, and he was so tired, and his publicist was like, oh, he's really, really tired. But the minute he came in, so friendly, you know, obviously like was very animated and such a joy to talk to. But the two of them together have such a great chemistry that they were really having fun. I think they even gave him lightsabers towards the end for another part of the interview. He was like at first like, okay, how are we going to do this? And then they both got so into it. Like, they were battling each other. I was like, this is, oh my gosh, this is a sight to see.
Yeah.
It was great.
That's great. Awesome.
That sounds, a lot of fun. We knew you're out there. You're out there doing something wonderful. And a lot of people kept asking, you know, what's Jennifer doing when they come up to us at Celebration? We're like, you'll find out. You'll find out. So there it was.
And
so
we posted it. We retweeted your tweet on Twitter. Thank you. If people aren't on social media and they want to find this great best of clip, where's the best place to go?
Go to Disney Plus YouTube channel. It is there on their, I think it's their What's Up Disney Plus Celebration video. So it is there. Thank you.
Awesome stuff. Well, Joseph, you and I don't have those Star Wars adventures to share, but it's been another wonderful week. Another week of Kenobi, another week of wonderful discussions, wonderful discourse, as well as some frustrating times out there, too. We get that. But I've been seeing more positive, and the more positive, the light fighting back against the dark this week, it seems. So how was your Star Wars week in life?
Oh, pretty good. I didn't interview anyone from Star Wars unless you count my action figures. I asked them some questions about where they think the narrative is going, and they had some insights. That was very fun. Yeah, no, I feel in general like I'm really happy about being able to stay on the light side with Obi-Wan. It feels like for me on social media, a lot of fans are really, really enjoying it, really moved by it. There's so much to be moved by, you know, depending on where your interest is. As a fan, if you're really into the prequels, if you're really into Leia Organa, or both, like a lot of us, there's so much to love. And the only little bits of negativity that I've personally seen are almost more like this is a movie, like the kind of people who come and have an opinion when a Star Wars movie is released. I think because it's so high stakes. And I've definitely seen a couple things where I just like I see the beginning of it and go, I'm not going to read that. I get the gist of the critique and I'll give it some thought and I'm going to move on. So I've managed to stay in an Obi-Wan place of joy. That's been one of my main Star Wars adventures. And then only other real adventures are sort of like great life ramifications of Star Wars Celebration in terms of sharing it with people. My wife was really excited to say like, okay, when are you going to show me all the action figures that we now have? So we had a sit down and I slowly rolled out each one and, you know, I warned her before I showed her the battle damaged Anakin Skywalker all burnt up. Because I thought you might be a little bit disturbed. And she's like, no, this one's great. Love it.
That's awesome.
And then I talked to my dad and explained to him the astromech drummer and told him about it in great detail because my dad is a drummer. And the little bit, you know, the drums are very space agey, very Star Wars spacey on the astromech drummer. But a part of the drum has this sort of a sparkle quality that was really popular in drums in the 60s when my dad first started playing. And, you know, he used to tell me about this orange sparkle kit that he maybe almost got instead of his black kit. And there's like a silver sparkle to them. So there's like fun drum details to discuss with my dad. And I started with, okay, like, so I saw this Star Wars droid and it's a drummer. Now, do you want to hear about it? And he's like, of course I do. Like, this is normal drums. This is a Star Wars droid drummer. He's like, tell me all about it. Send me pictures. So that was really great to be able to share with the people in my life the adventures that I had at Star Wars Celebration. So that was really my big Star Wars adventure this week.
That's great. That's also the end of a journey I felt I kind of began with you at that Mando experience where I heard you kind of say to yourself and me, oh my God, they got the asteroid there. And yeah, and you were so right. I loved kind of seeing it through your eyes too. Love the droid, love the concept, but yeah, seeing the drums, the details, and feeling your joy for it there and your connection to your father over that. That's a great stuff. That's truly a Star Wars story.
Yeah, and I mean, that was one of the great parts of the experience. I always liked that, of seeing what looks different in person and seeing what's different up close. You know, I love seeing just like, I'm all about sparkles, I guess. There's like a little bit of texture to the armor's red armor plate on her chest.
Yeah.
That looks a little bit different in person. And that's what I love about these kind of exhibits.
Yeah, it fascinated too. I think we mentioned it last week, but just seeing the what are no doubt cosplayers researching the designs by taking close shots of heels, of boots, and belts in the Mando experience.
Yeah,
it's spectacular.
One other quick thing I want to share, if I may, if you are listening on Tuesday and you live in California, that is the last day to vote, and that's the other Star Wars adventure that I'm gonna have. My wife and I opened up the ballots that are sent out, and just the. I've been following some of the races like mayor and that, but there's so many races and it requires so much actual time and effort to participate in democracy. And this is just, I wanted to share that because it's one of those moments where my love of Star Wars and our analysis of it, like, helps me in day-to-day life. You know, you look at this list of like, well, I don't know everything about every assembly candidate. I don't know everything about every judge, but like, I am inspired to take the time, do the research and figure it out and give it that investment because of characters like Padme and Leia. And it's one of those moments where later today after we record, I'm going to have a Star Wars adventure in that I'll be thinking of making Padme proud by really researching and filling out my ballot.
Yes. I think, yeah, there needs to be a vote with Padme Star Wars campaign, national, like kind of like MTV's Rock the Vote years ago. We should do that.
Yes. Padme the vote.
I love it.
Turn in my ballot after this, and it's been it's been a weird election. So actually, a person that used to work for me is running for state senate. Didn't know.
Oh wow!
You don't see the ads. It's just been a weird, weird time. So yeah, absolutely, get out and vote. We do believe it's important here. And my Star Wars adventures and life adventures. I got to tell you, potentially a little sad, a little depressing. Just warn everybody. It's a lesson in letting go. No, so Grace and I have the wonderful new little puppy. Well, three, four year old Chihuahua, but she has puppy energy. That's for clear, for sure. very clear. Francis, Carrie Fisher's middle name. We didn't name her, so it was a kismet there. I love that. But we call her our little noodle, and we have to send her away for training. She's got a lot of things going on, a lot of trauma, a lot of things in the past. Some things we want to this isn't just sit, stay, roll over. This is how can you function in this world? Cause you're a frightened little wonderful, sweet creature. So we had to, found a wonderful trainer. Our friend Jen Sturger recommended this trainer and we had a border. It's a 2-week process. And for those of you not familiar with the layout of LA, we're in Burbank, but there's Santa Clarita. And then out past that's a place called Agua Dulce, known for the Vasquez Rocks that are featured in Star Trek and a lot of Instagram influencer photo shoots. so right in the...
I want to see the Gorn from Star Trek as an influencer.
it's so in the shadow of those rocks and nearby is where we had to take her. And so that's like an hour and a half drive. And we had a great, you know, drive and we're holding the dog when the dog doesn't know. And then we had to, you know, give up the dog for 2 weeks. And it was truly a lesson in, I just kept thinking of Shmi. I kept thinking of her as Anakin walks away. And I don't know if we were Anakin or the dog was Shmi or vice versa. It was hard for the dog, might have been harder for us. And it's just one of those, you know, you got to do what's right for them, not what feels good for you. And it's so hard. And it's so hard. And just, you know, one of those little moments where, almost maybe people in my life who aren't on a Star Wars podcast get annoyed with me of like, well, it's like in Star Wars. And it's like, does Star Wars ever turn off for you? And I'm like, no, it's actually more and more an influence in my life. as I get older. I'm bringing it into the serious conversations, arguments with my mom over politics, handing off a dog for 2 weeks of training, and the art of letting go and knowing that it's for the greater good of all of us, you know. And it, so here it is, this little 4-pound chihuahua being handed over as this big Star Wars life lesson for me. So Franny, we're going to get you in a couple weeks. Don't worry, but it's going to, she might be turned into a Darth Franny. We don't know. She's got the potential. It's light and dark in battling right now. So anyways, so thanks once again, Shmi. I look to you, Shmi Skywalker. Thank you for your advice.
Well, that is a lovely story, and I think well handled. When you talk about how Franny is going to come back, I hope they don't have some like cave, some force cave. Like, go in there and face yourself, Franny.
Well, and the landscape where we took this wonderful little creature, this little breeders, you know, they have a lot of dogs out there. It's literally kind of out in the middle of nowhere. It kind of looks like the Lars homestead. Like, oh, you kind of feel like you're going out there, but the landscape looks a little bit like was it Maputo where we're at in Kenobi?
Maputo.
The landscape is very similar where you kind of think maybe they shot around the corner. Definitely everything is Star Wars. Everything is Star Wars in life.
Well, that's great that you're using it though, using the big ideas to help you cope with the hard things.
Yeah, absolutely. That's even right. In our advancing years, Star Wars continues to teach us. So from our life adventures, our Disney Plus adventures, we are going to go into some Star Wars news. And a lot of it's still coming out of Star Wars Celebration. But this is two stories we got today that's just kind of fun to dive into what ifs and what could be's and what do we think might have happened. Luke and Ahsoka's first meeting is in the spotlight at Star Wars Celebration. Friend of the show, friend of us, Ash Crossan, just killed it on that panel, that Mando panel, but she also had the red carpet stuff. And as Jen can attest, that's hard. You got 2 minutes. You got a question or two to get it. And her, along with people like Maude Garrett, they're just experts on those red carpets of getting these actors and creators to just talk and be real. And she has good rapport with Dave Filoni, Jon Favreau, of course. Jen, you know what that is like. Those, they love to talk, but they also love to hide their secrets. She asked Filoni about how Luke and Ahsoka know each other. Just, hey, how did they meet? And Filoni, in his little cheeky cowboy hat way, says he has an idea for this key story moment and has had it for years, but hasn't had a chance to tell that story yet. So first part of this is this seemingly indicates we won't see this moment in the upcoming Ahsoka series. So my first direct question, Joseph, Jennifer, putting on our Vegas gambling odds hats, I guess, straight up, do we think this is a trademark Filoni faint? Ahsoka lives, ! Do we think maybe he just doesn't want to give that away, but wants to give a tease out? Or do we take him at face value? It's not going to be in this series. Jennifer, lay down your chips.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, first thing I'll say is that it's kind of amazing. Ash had just finished moderating that panel, right? And then she's going on the red carpet. Like, that is incredible. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. I don't know how she does it. She's amazing. And I think he's being honest. I think I like that he has a plan. I like that he was like, I had to figure that out first to know where I am now. But I think, you know, it's very George Lucas, right? I think that he's going to figure out the right way to tell it. And then we'll have to figure out, what is that going to be, right? Is it going to be animated series? Is it going to be live action? Is it going to be, it could be comics. It could be his novel. Who the heck knows? Yeah. But I do think he's being honest, at least with this first.
Yeah.
I was like, I watched that clip over and over again. I was like really analyzing his face. I'm like, is he telling the truth? Is he lying? But I think he's telling the truth.
Yeah. I mean, he's so good and he's cheeky. And I don't know if he's ever lied. He plays with that, you know, like he just plays with the truth a little bit there, I guess, and has fun with it. Again, going back to your statement, Jen, he's a fan. And Joseph, you're right. He'd probably be at Celebration asking the question of someone else if he wasn't the one with a say in that. So, yeah, I get what you're saying, Jen. But Joseph, did you freeze frame his face?
I didn't I want him to be lying, but I'm gonna put my chips on not lying.
Yeah,
or half truth. I'll put an Obi-Wan chip on him. That maybe we get a little bit more context of their first meeting, but not the full story. Like, I think we're in this fascinating new place where Filoni has been cheeky, right? Like, when he wants to kind of wink and say maybe, he does it with a shirt, or he'll do a joke, right? Like, he even ended this with a joke of like, yeah, no, it's a really good story. You know, too bad I don't have time to tell it right now. You know, but I feel like he has mostly been cheeky. I think the necessity of the internet has now started a new trend of straight up lying, right? Ewan McGregor did his best to not just straight up lie, right? He's, you know, moments after the days after the Solo premiere with the Obi-Wan beard, you know, there's that interview I always go to where he's got like a breath mint and he's on an after, you know, award carpet thing and just changes the subject to the breath mint to try to get people off the Obi-Wan train. But then like Andrew Garfield for Spider-Man, just straight up, there's montages of him straight up lying, right? Because he had no other choice if he was cute about it. So we are in an era of straight up lying to keep fans happy. But I don't feel like that's what's going on. I think I'm with Jennifer. I think he's being very honest when saying, I know the story because I need to delay that tile down to understand what was going on next. Mm-hmm. My thought is the way that he's saying it, using the word story, I think it's interesting to me that he has an idea that it is a larger story. It's not just like, after the fall of the Empire, they're both searching around, they bump into each other on this planet, you know, there's some actual like, interacting a beginning, a middle, and end, a conflict, a resolution. If their first meeting is a story, not just a campfire moment, then it makes sense to me that maybe it doesn't fit into the narrative of this first season of Ahsoka, or it would have been an utter distraction to what they want to accomplish in Book of Boba Fett. So that him describing it as a story, that makes it make a little bit more sense to me why he hasn't found the right place for it yet.
Yeah, I really agree. You highlighting the tile statement of it's a tile I'm putting down on this bathroom remodel that I've got going on. I had to know where it all fits in the place, which just it makes a lot of sense. And then if this does hold true, and this is something that doesn't show up in the series, then I even kind of respect the approach anymore, even more of it. We're not just checklisting. We know people have this question because we have it too. And it'd be something special. And if that special thing doesn't fit into what we're doing right now, we're not going to wedge it in. We're going to tell it in some other way. And we're going to speculate what that might be or what we would want that to be. But I'm with Bolzy on that. Like, he's always having fun. Cheeky is our word we use to describe it. But here it seems there was a little strain of sincerity of just like, it's great. Can't wait for you to hear it one day. And I don't think he's intentionally trying to like, lay down the groundwork for all of us to be like, don't worry about speculating. It's not coming up in this series or something like that. I'm not saying that's super intentional, but that might be the effect. And that might be nice where this isn't Luke's story. This isn't how they met. This is hers and this particular adventure. Maybe that's part of her and part of her story so far, but the focus isn't on them. The focus is on her and the new people around her coming to the show or old friends rallying around her in this show. So I'll take it from that angle too. Of just like, hey, here's what to expect.
You didn't feel like he was straight up lying?
It's hard to tell. but no, I mean, he's a little bit more playful than some of the other stuff, even some of the Ahsoka art, or not even playful. Sometimes he likes to create a mystery. I'm not accusing him of creating a mystery box, but just like he knows what it is. And I think he knows the value of, hey, just find out, or hey, let me stoke your fires of anticipation a little bit here. I think it's always been with a wink and a nod to being a fan. Again, to your point up top, Jennifer, and to watch Favre just kind of sit there. And it's interesting too. These two definitely have a lot of power in Star Wars right now. We're going to talk about that after the break with the other story. They have a lot of power and it's fun to just kind of look at Favre, kind of look to Filoni and be like, he's working on it. I'll figure out how to direct it or tell it or something like that. And who else they can bring in to complete that story and make that story. But it's that was part of the fun thing to watch of just here is the cartoon guy, which I don't mean as an insult, but there is the guy who did the cartoon, the Star Wars cartoon that everyone loves now and brought in this cartoon character. He's it's all in his head right now. And that's just kind of exciting for me as a Star Wars fan. We love the storytelling. We have put a lot of faith in the storytelling. Always having a great amount of people around him to make it happen. I just like that moment too, of just like all these years later from Plo Koon and the Revenge of the Sith line to, I got a story I'm working on and maybe I can tell it. And it's an important one. So I don't know. Yeah. I like that part of it too.
Yeah. And I think I like what you're saying there too, because the other question that Ash asked, right, of is any hints towards Grogu's first words, which of course, obviously they're not going to go, yep, it's in this chapter and it's this. But I like that Filoni immediately turned to Favreau and was like, that's all you.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. Liz Taylor, the ghost of Liz Taylor voices Grogu's first word there for all you Simpsons fans. So outside of what the Filoni faint, whether it's there or not, if he's lying, cheeky, or just being really sincere and making sure we're not let down, do we want to see this in the Ahsoka series at all? And that's more of a, do we want to see it in the live action question, or should this be told elsewhere? We have the Tales of the Jedi series coming out. I've even seen some tweets suggesting, hey, put it there. Have an animated Luke and Ahsoka meeting, which could be a good spot, but looking at what the show might be, the shorts that are telling these wonderful stories. So, Joseph, I'll start with you here. Yeah, what do you think? Live action, do you need it live action? We've got the wonderful technology. How do you want it to play out, if at all? Or should it be kept? I guess that's the third option. Should it just be kept a mystery?
I'm fine with it being a mystery up to a point. I would really love to see it as a fan. I think there's a part of me that would like to see it live action because that's what we're exploring right now. But I'd be happy to get it ultimately in whatever form the creators involved think fits best. You know, I think this is one of those great, moments where you go, well, what's my laundry list of what I want as a fan? And I've got them. And one of them is this scene, this story of Luke and Ahsoka meeting. But I don't want it if it doesn't fit. And I think that's such a point of tension is with our whole speculate responsibly thing. When we as fans kind of list things we want, it's one thing to want them. It's another to ask, but how does that fit into the narrative? And I think Filoni as a fan wants to tell this story, like he said to Ash. And if it isn't in the first season of Ahsoka, I think it's because it doesn't fit. And I'm sure he tried putting that tile in and goes, it's going to do disservice to the whole. It's going to do disservice to this story if it doesn't fit, if he's telling the truth. So I just want to see it where it fits best and where it works best.
Mm. Yeah, no, that's a great answer and the right thought, right? Even if, I say that joking, I guess, a little bit, but like, yeah, no, we feel like sometimes we it's okay to be at the dinner table with a knife and fork going, give me, I'm hungry for it.
Yeah, I think we're going to speculate a little bit on what the story might be, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I will hold any other thoughts on that.
Joseph concedes the floor. Jennifer, you're up to the microphone here.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I think it is going to be part of a bigger storyline. That's why I think he's being very cautious with where he's going to place this meetup, if you will. Is it going to be live action? Is it going to be animated? I loved deepfake Luke. I know some fans did not like deepfake Luke. Right. So, are they going to want to go down that road again? I don't know. It's kind of amazing, actually, if you think about how the technology progressed from Luke in The Mandalorian to Luke in the Book of Boba Fett. I think it's a huge improvement. So who knows by the time that they come back? I mean, it could even look even more realistic. Mm. I do kind of want it in live action, though. I don't want it in book form. That's what I'm saying. I don't want it in book form. But animated form is great too, and I trust him. And another reason why I think he's telling the truth is because Ash brilliantly asks him in kind of like a casual way, right? She just kind of casually tosses it out there. And so like he didn't really have time to think about his answer. So that's also why I think he's being honest.
Yeah, that's true. Look, I think you said some things I love in there, Jennifer, of being honest. I don't want it in book form. I love the Star Wars books. I love E.K. Johnson's take on Ahsoka and her Ahsoka book. I love it. I would not want it in book form. And then if you were to ask me after Mando season 2, I'd be like, oh, absolutely not live action. Not with that, Luke. And then after Book of Boba Fett, I'd be like, oh yeah, that sounds great. Let's do that. Let's do that. And technology grows. But I got this, and I don't mean this, I would say this carefully, not starting any war here between the Ahsokas. There's something though I'd like to see it, maybe Tales of the Jedi or something like that, and having Ashley voice Ahsoka and just see that character. It's the same character. Again, I got to help me. I'm choosing the words carefully. I love Azura Dawson and Ahsoka. But just like there's something powerful about that, seeing it in that form and combining the Ahsoka we all knew and just kind of got behind for years with a Luke from another era. You know, if you got Hamill voicing it, but you maybe do something where it sounds a little younger, whatever you need to do, or have Mark Hamill now voice. I don't care. Like, don't change his voice. I don't know. But just, you know what I mean? Like, truly having two different generations come together for this moment, which is kind of two different generations of Star Wars in a way. Even though Ahsoka's older. I don't know. That's just my gut instinct. I think I'll take it anyway, including, you know, pamphlet, whatever. I don't care. But that's kind of where my heart goes.
Oh, but now that you said that, of course it makes sense to have it in the animated form with Ashley. That would be beautiful. Oh,
and again, not starting any war.
No, absolutely. Exactly.
There could be two Ahsokas in my world. It's okay.
Ahsokas and their cousins are fine.
There are always two or more. Yes.
Well, let's get to that speculation here. Any thoughts on what Dave's version might be? Which, by the way, is still just his version. It still might have to go through a couple other minds on how to make it happen. Let's remember that. And what do we want? The dangerous question sometimes we have to answer in Star Wars. Jennifer, what do you think about this meeting?
Yeah, it is a tight timeline, potentially. I would like it to be after Return of the Jedi, maybe just like a few years after. Maybe Ahsoka encourages him to start his Jedi Academy. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Go ahead, Ken.
I want you to take this one home here, but only because there's something you had said that made me question my own answer. In my head today, I was like, it is a story. I think it's a great point. You had said, Joseph, like it's more than just a chance meeting. At the same time, I keep going, and this is again why I'm not writing Star Wars. Of he's out there searching for things, and she's out there searching for people, and then they bump into each other in a hallway like a sitcom. And hey, who are you? They're both like sneaking backwards. They heard a noise, and then boink and yoinks. Who are you? Then we got a Hanna-Barbera Star Wars cartoon. But my that's a joke, of course. But the idea of that the Force would bring them together in some way, and maybe at one point she knows he's out there and discovers he's out there, and what that could mean for her. I mean, that's pretty powerful. Like, oh my gosh, Anakin's son is out there. Daughter too, but son is obviously where we are focusing on here. And to have her not make that a mission. She's got other things, but like it happens. Or maybe the Force is like, you need to go seek him out. This might provide more healing. Leia didn't spend those final moments with Vader / Anakin. So this is why the Force maybe would say Luke's the one, and Luke getting that kind of information. That's something, Joseph, you and I have been talking all through Mando, and you would highlight a lot when we first met Ahsoka in live action, of just like, you know, what that means for both of those characters. So that's why we want this scene. But I would be interested if it wasn't like, so, oh, I'm going to go meet Ahsoka. Oh, I need to go meet Luke. It's just the Force kind of was like, hey, you two maybe got to chat.
Yeah. No, emotionally, I really agree with both of you. And I'm sure a ton of Star Wars fans, that's what they're looking for. I want the emotional story to be about healing for both Luke and Ahsoka, that Luke has this information of the better choice that Anakin made at the end of his life. And that Ahsoka has all of these stories of who this man was. And then, of course, Ahsoka can also give Luke and Leia the gift of more knowledge about who their mother truly was, not just like, you know, information, you know, on whatever the Star Wars version of on the Hollow. You know, they can find out she's this Senator Padme. There was a Trade Federation invasion in this year, but who she was as a person, right? Some of those great episodes where Ahsoka and Padme really spend time together and bond in the Clone Wars. So I think it's the story to me is a lot about healing, is what I would want it to be. And then also, Jennifer, what you said, I think Luke and Ahsoka, in if it's, you know, 6 months after Return of the Jedi, 2 years, wherever it is in this kind of nebulous timeline we have right now, it is natural that they'd both be thinking about what should the Jedi be in the future? And Luke has reason to have this kind of hopeful perspective, and Ahsoka has this reason to have a sort of grounded perspective of here's what went wrong on the ground, you know, versus Luke's here's how it could be better. So I think those are, to me, the emotional parts of the story. And we've talked about it a lot as like a scene, right? Like, hey, they're both touring around, and they both go to a Jedi temple that's been, you know, absolutely ravaged by the Empire, and they have a campfire scene, and it's a scene. And I think in some ways in my mind, it's always been like a scene in exchange.
Yeah.
And that's why I was really intrigued to have Filoni say, it's a story, and I'm trying to find room to tell that story. So that makes me think, like, is it more active? I think Ahsoka's fate at the end of that Rebels episode, when she's walking out of the world between worlds, is like, is she stranded on Malachor? How long is she on Malachor? Does Luke rescue her from Malachor? Right. You know, do they encounter one another in a way that it's conflict, that they're both resolving a problem and they don't quite realize who one another is right away and have different, are butting heads at first? You know, I think that how much of a story is it makes such a big difference. And my final thought on this, thank you for letting me ramble.
No.
I have so many thoughts. I think the key thing for me is there's all the Luke side of it and the history of Anakin and Padme, but the real active thing, especially with the Ahsoka story, is how does this meeting affect Ahsoka? And maybe that's why it's a challenge to put it down, to figure out exactly where to put it down. Because I think one of the main things I want out of the Ahsoka series is clarity of her emotional journey, because it's her timeline is really nebulous right now from the world between worlds to when we see her. She seems kind of rough in Mando season 2. Yes. And then she seems like she has kind of a better sense of peace in Book of Boba Fett and is actually being kind of a quiet mentor to Luke. And then at the end of Rebels, when she goes to get Sabine, that's just some straight up Lord of the Rings, you know, I have transformed to the next level, right? I have officially leveled up in Jedi Wizard, you know, Academy level. So, and that's all in this nebulous time period. So what I really do want out of the Ahsoka show is laying those beats on a timeline so we can really feel like we're in step with her. Not the what happened, when, and how, but emotionally. How is she doing? Where is she at the beginning of the show so we know where she has left to go? And how this puzzle piece fits into it. Like, in my mind, her meeting Luke should be a big part of that puzzle piece. When I see her upset in Mando season 2 about attachment, it kind of makes me feel like maybe she doesn't know what happened to Anakin.
Right. Yeah, right.
So maybe it's even like there's not room for the story, but she acknowledges to someone, to Sabine, like, you know, I found out some answers and it set me on this path.
Yeah. I don't know about you, Jennifer. I love everything in there, but it's also, you immediately, Joseph, you're right. You got almost like two or three paths in front of you where, rescuing from Malachor is delicious. That's delicious stuff, right? Or getting her off. And what would have brought him there? But the healing, you said the word healing. I really love that one there. And then, Jennifer, you talked about there's not a lot of room in some of the beats and timelines and stuff that we got. So, yeah, I'm with you, Joseph. Like, that Mando appearance seemed a little bit of a sadder, more despondent, and not angrier, but just more focused on some of the things at play. And second time, we see her, a nice cup of coffee. She's hanging out with Luke. It's a little different vibe. So
it really is like a visit from your aunt, right? And even that like great moment where he's like, when I'll see you again, she's like, who knows? It is training. She's training him to like, don't, she's telling him in that moment to like, watch out for your attachment. Just enjoy the joy that we had this time. And I'll probably be back. And if not, that's cool too. Like it's, and that's so much more at peace than she feels like in Mando to me.
Yes.
So there you go, Jen. Did we convince you of anything now? Do you want something specific now?
Oh, I love it all. I love it all. And what I'm curious, I mean, I'm sure that they have all, that Dave Filoni has all these ideas, right? And that it's just kind of there somewhere on a piece of paper or on a computer, whatever, right? Yeah. And they're going to find the right time to tell that story. Mm-hmm. And that to me is just like, wow, they have so much going on right now. Think about all the other stories that are untold that they're just waiting to find that perfect moment. It's just really, it's exciting.
Yeah.
It's a great time to be a Star Wars fan. We say it often around here for good reason. Yeah. Any final thoughts, Joseph?
Oh, I was just going to say, I think, you know, Filoni as a fan realizes that a lot of this is fun too, right? That us not knowing and us being excited when we sit down to the Ahsoka show saying exactly where is this in her timeline and how does this beat connect to that beat? I think he wants to share some of those answers, but I think he's also aware that that's a part of the fun of being a fan is having the fun of the discussion we're having right now.
Exactly.
Yeah. And now having so many options to tell these stories, which even when Rebels started, they might have had an idea and Iger's talking about streaming or whatnot. You know, I get all that. And things are in the works years before we finally see them or even hear the news about them. I get that. But it just seems like so many more avenues have opened up and continue to open up that maybe he's also just trying to figure out that question, too. Where do I want to see this?
Yeah. Right.
Book,
yeah.
Book, comic, huge. Short. Yeah.
Huge mm-hmm. question of is Ahsoka one season or is this going to be the seventh season Ahsoka show?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's interesting.
All right. We are going to take a quick break and get to our other story on the other side of the break. Before we do, we have a Force Center recommends that I just randomly, not randomly, I picked this one, Joseph. If you have another choice, by the way, we didn't talk about this off air. Go ahead. I just think this is the season. I hear this book being referenced a lot. So what's our Force Center recommends?
We are recommending, and I have no problem with it, Star Wars Revenge of the Sith by Matthew Stover. A fascinating novelization of all three of the prequel novels. It's the one that I remember reading the most and the one that I got a lot out of. Maybe sometimes I see a quote snippet floating around on social media, and I'm not sure if I'm entirely personally on board with it, but it's a fascinating novel. Goes deep and describes Obi-Wan Kenobi's butt. What more could you want?
What more can you want? Download your free audiobook today by going to audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ForceCenter for your free audiobook. Help out the show and help out your Star Wars loving ears by getting an audiobook on us. All right, quick break on the other side, another news story, and a look back at Star Wars' own history coming up here on ForceCenter.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Wow!
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites.
So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to Force Center, the big show, the main show, the superstar destroyer of our fleet. We are looking at Star Wars headlines, and yes, post-celebration, a little bit less headlines, but some fun, delicious, headcanon-inspiring Star Wars news stories. It's also Ash Crossan week here at Force Center. we all love Ash, her and Daniel Kennedy. A great hang, by the way. The great at whether it's a hotel lobby bar or a fire pit. Wonderful souls, wonderful people. And Ash is an absolute pro. So no surprise that on the red carpet where she was, you know, the press line, working a lot of things during Star Wars Celebration, working hard. She got some great tidbits that kind of fueled a lot of headlines this week, including our show today. John Kasdan apparently met Ash for the first time here in this press line because he asked at the beginning of this interview, Ash, okay, great. This is after the big panel on Thursday at Star Wars Celebration Anaheim, and she got him talking about Solo after he told the tale of writing Aaron Kellyman a co-lead role in Willow, which I loved hearing that story. He's a big fan, and I love that, you know, calling up an actor and saying, hey, guess what? You got a part in the series we're writing. Don't even audition. Come on in. Grab your stuff. Meet us there. Kasdan said first, I'll say this. Ash just kind of transitioned from that to talk of Solo, doing a little bit of a wink and a nod to the Make Solo 2 hashtag that's always out there with the Resistance broadcast and their wonderful fans and all that stuff. And John got really excited, as he should. He loves this movie, as do a lot of people. So to the points here, Kasdan said he has spoken to Jon Favreau about characters like Kira, and says Favreau, the voice of Rio Duran, of course, is a fan of the film and what they built out in the film, and believes that we might one day see what happened to Kira as she rose through Crimson Dawn. They don't mention her return to the comics, of course, set post Empire Strikes Back. Kasdan then jokes he told Jon, hey, you're the one to figure it out, so get going. So the return of Kira, Infant's Nest, and company is a popular idea around these parts and Force Center and the fandom here. So I want to go to this one first here, and then we can talk just generally your thoughts on the interview, anything here. But is the Mandoverse, as it's called by some folks, the place, especially for Kira? Joseph, I'll start with you here.
Yeah, as always, I want to acknowledge that I'm not caught up in the comics. So I don't know everything that happens with Kira and with Crimson Dawn. So take that into account. But I'd love it if Kira fit into the Mandoverse, because at this point, while my first choice would be Kira, you know, Disney Plus series, I would still just be happy to see the character. I think she might fit in, maybe not as a main character, but as someone trying to figure out Crimson Dawn in this new era. Like, we've already been seeing a lot of that in terms of what is going on with the criminal syndicates, with the Empire maybe not backing them as much, the New Republic kind of hounding them, but not having resources, and those organizations learning kind of like, here's how we can, you know, evade or go to the areas where the New Republic is not yet there, isn't paying enough attention. So I think somebody who has been immersed in the crime world probably has some opinions about how things are going. I also think that there is this intriguing connection to Crimson Dawn, to what Kira has experienced, in that, you know, Crimson Dawn is it's a kind of Maul's breakup with Mandalore rebound career,
right? Yeah.
And I do think that there's storytelling left to be had with the Armorer's connection to Death Watch, Children of the Watch, her opinion on Maul's brief, you know, inserting himself into the ways of Mandalore, that there might be a connection there, that, you know, Kira and the Armorer could have crossed paths and have some Maul related baggage.
Don't we all have some Maul related baggage there? Good stuff there. Jen, thoughts on Kira? And I don't, have you had a chance to read any of the tales, the Bounty Hunter War of the Bounty Hunters comic line where Kira returns?
No, I have not. And now I'm feeling like I should have, because it sounds like there's so much that has happened. And immediately I just think of, she actually would be a pretty good fit into the Mandoverse, I think. I think it would be she'd be the right character to bring back, is what I'm saying. And I think that she would actually enrich the story. It would have been actually nice to have her in the Book of Boba Fett, to kind of have her be maybe the main antagonist. That could have been interesting. It still can be interesting. Maybe there's a season two. Who knows? But yeah, that would be, and I love Emilia Clarke. Oh my gosh. Yeah, my brain. So yes, now I will have to go back and read the comics.
And there's a Crimson Dawn comic going that's in the middle of its run right now, I believe.
Oh, it's right now. Oh, Crimson good.
Rain, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
then I can get caught up.
She does the big return of the War of the Bounty Hunters, which overall I really love a lot of the big things they've done in that series and the big swings they took. Not all of it hit for me. Even Kira's return, but that's because, I mean, I think it was great and there's some great stuff. So happy she's back. But I'm a victim of my own expectations and speculations on how and why Kira would return. And I think they did a fine job with it. I want to be clear there, but it just didn't hit for me on all cylinders. But I'm also not caught up on Crimson Rain. But that is post Empire Strikes Back. All happens after Han is in Carbonite. And therefore, I don't know. That's why I highlighted that John didn't, you know, they didn't acknowledge it. They didn't have time to acknowledge it in this little press line interview here. But it would put it, you'd have to figure out the right way to do it in the quote unquote Mandoverse. Mm-hmm. And I agree. I think more than Mandalorian, Book of Boba Fett, which was some of the thoughts and speculations and dreams of Kira and Crimson Dawn up there, it would have fit real nicely in that part of the story, that part of the world. So therefore it still could. And I think it absolutely could work. But then I think I'd be, if Kira shows up in say Mando 3, Mando 4, because John's writing those scripts right now, I'd be super excited, obviously. And I'd love to just explore, all right, how are they going to tell the story? But then I think I'd have a little bit of that Carson Teva reaction where I'd be like, aren't Leia and Han concerned about, like, wouldn't this come up? Don't we have an awkward, you talk to your ex-girlfriend. What do we got here? What do we got here? I think I'd get a little bit of that. And I need Carson Teva to show up and be like, there's something going on here. but that's just me and maybe an obstacle that I'm placing in front of the storytelling, if I'm being honest. So that's why to round it up there, I look at her own series set before the events of New Hope, highlighting a little bit more what she was doing in the shadows as she's rebuilding Crimson Dawn and before her reemergence after Empire. It'd be more interesting, which is why, we're also talking about Infus Nest as a character, and even Kazan said, hey, I saw the trailer for Andor today. I was like, she's got to show up in that, meaning Infus Nest. And I think that kind of timeline, that kind of era works more for me than the Mandoverse, if I'm being honest. But I also will take it anywhere if I continue that honesty train there, Joseph.
Yeah. No, I think it's interesting if there was a Kira story set in the Mandoverse. To me, the intriguing thing would be she's so set up in Solo as somebody who went through such trauma that she believes that, the way life is you play the game and there is no version of life that isn't a game. And is that at all changed in her with this change of regimes? Or is she the point of like New Republic Empire? Yeah, this one has, better propaganda.
yeah.
But it's all the same. Or is she actually, is there any part of her that her youth could be reawakened and that she could believe in some amount of freedom again? That's the kind of emotional thing that's interesting to me if we saw her post Return of the Jedi. But I agree. I think I'm more fascinated with pre A New Hope. The other wild thought I have about Kira is Charles Soule has done such a great job in comics and in books. I can't remember the official title now, but he's got a higher level title within Lucasfilm itself now, in a higher level, creative position. I apologize, I didn't look it up beforehand to remember the exact title, but he seems to have really taken a liking to the character of Kira. So there's also the possibility of like, is that on the table if Lucasfilm is always looking at who do we already work with really well? Who really gets Star Wars? That could be a step that, a Kira show could be announced and Charles Soule is running it because he's intrigued by this character and he's taking that step into a different medium.
Right. Should be a big one there too. Yeah, and to be clear, I saw a couple of people tweeted it and I agree with the tweets of not just simply diversifying behind the scenes in Star Wars, which is important as well, but just like it doesn't necessarily mean that it needs to all or should fall on Favreau's notepad to write out the story. So I think that's a great idea you get there, just of other people coming on in. And I think that's what John, I took it as what John's saying, like, hey, you're the one to, you're the one to make this happen, John. Like, if you like those characters, you find how and who should bring those characters back. It ain't me, screenwriting, second generation superstar. Not me. It's you, John. And so that's what I agree with that idea too. If it could be some other folks that make it happen.
He's a creative consultant for Lucasfilm. I just looked it up.
There we go.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. There you go. I kind of touched him on a little bit there, but as far as the character of Infant's Nest, after seeing the trailer for Andor season one, I don't know if she fits quite yet into season one, but season two, especially with jumping around the timeline a bit or moving up the timeline, that could work for me. And that thing I've said before on many shows here included of, ooh, give me a scene of Saw Gerrera, Infant's Nest, Kira, throw them all at a table and have a meeting on how best to fight the Empire. Like, that seems like more season two. Season one seems to be one planet, spending time there and talking about some different things in the rebellion that grows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, Joseph. Yeah, go ahead.
I agree with that. I think Tony Gilroy had kind of mentioned that season two is going to be moving fast, right, over the years, and it makes a lot of sense for Andor to have lots of interactions with different pockets of rebellion coming together. So that seems like a really logical place to possibly meet Enfys Nest. But I'm very hopeful for an Enfys Nest Disney Plus series. You know, we got Skeleton Crew announced. I think Lando is a question mark floating in the future, always in motion. I think we're due within the year for some announcements of shows that are going to be popping up in 2024, 2025. And I think Enfys Nest is actually a really good candidate, given the interest in the character, the company's relationship with Aaron Kellyman at this point between Willow and Falcon and Winter Soldier. The massive positive reaction to the character and to the actor. And there's a lot that's really intriguing about Enfys Nest as a character, a woman character. There is a clear indigenous influence in her culture and in her armor. So there's stuff to explore there. I just think she's a great candidate for her own show.
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Jen, your thoughts?
Yes. Now I'm all in. I was like, oh, I could see it as maybe like a couple scenes in Andor, because they are showing different communities rising up in the galaxy. But no, she has an origin story with her mom. Like, there's just so much that they can do. And Erin Kellyman being a part of the Disney family, the Star Wars family, she is a delight. When I met her, she was like, I think my first interview of the day.
Wow.
I was just so excited. I was like, I'm so happy you're here. And she just was a joy. Let's do it. Let's do it. Maybe they'll announce it. Now I'm getting really excited about that. I want it to happen. My trash compactor's back.
That's okay. Put a pin in that thought. That was where I was going with the last question. But yeah, being such a fan of this character, like so many else out there, I'm not unique in that at all. But yeah, there's a lot of value in going back with this character to family, legacy, traditions, and why when you put on that helmet, why you got to fight and what you're doing. And I still think, then you could have a chance to bring back Beckett and Val and spend more time with Val and spend more time with those three characters and their relationship up until the movie Solo and what it means for this grassroots rebellion growing. But at the same time, her place, you have to wonder about going forward, where she would show up and who, it's that great scene from Rebel Rising that Beth Revis wrote of young Jid and Infus and Saw. I love that scene in the book. So we love that book so much around these parts. So that's about going forward. And, could you imagine Mon Mothma sitting across a table from Infus Nest? Infus Nest pulls the mask off again, goes, "You want a drink?" Mothma's like, "Oh God, I need a drink." And they sit down and chat. So this character has great potential value both directions on the timeline. And I think that's why she's so popular in a lot of ways.
Absolutely. Very much agreed.
But that's my final question here in the news here, Jen. You kind of touched on here at this point. If we do get the return of these characters, will the expectations be too high? How, the age-old question, how do we keep our expectations in check? Jen, you just got excited. You just got really excited. How do you keep them in check? And here's the other question. Should you keep them in check?
I mean, this part of the fun, right? I'm not going to go on some crazy YouTube rant about it if it doesn't happen. I'll keep manage my expectations. Yeah. I think that, you know, for those of us that love Solo, that's why we want a Solo 2 and why we want these characters to return, especially since we've seen them bring characters back in the Mandoverse and do it so well. So, and you have these great actors that are just, they've created these awesome performances. Why not just insert them elsewhere in the timeline? So, yeah, I don't know. I do feel, especially after the Vanity Fair article, I do feel like maybe they're a little bit more cautious about Solo. I don't think we'll be seeing Alden Ehrenreich coming back as Han anytime soon. And I don't think that the Lando show is, I think that's on hold as well. Who knows? We could get an announcement, you know, at D23 and that could all change, right? But that's just kind of my feeling, is that they're kind of just like, okay, well, that didn't quite work as we expected. So we're just going to tell other stories right now. So I don't know.
Yeah, I agree with that there. Yeah, and without a doubt, part of the fun here is just going wild, and that's okay. I put this question in here because I was really thinking of, you know, the idea of Emilia Clarke coming back as Kira. I think it's something she'd want to do. Some of the interviews she's given of, I have stories and thoughts too. She is now involved in, you know, with the family, so to speak, with the MCU stuff again coming up. So it all kind of tracks, and sure, and conversations can happen. And then I was like, well, what if she shows up for one weird episode of Mando 3, and I'm like, oh, that's all I got. Like, and I get really oddly disappointed simply because I have this grand story in my mind. It's the age old thing we've been wrestling around these parts at Force Center. Why speculate responsibly is a popular t-shirt that we still sell. So I get it. So I don't know. Joseph, take us home. Counsel us through the excitement for characters that we've yet to see, but might one day.
Yeah, I mean, you both said so many great things. I love Solo, and I wish that they did just announce, like, yeah, no, we're for Disney Plus, we're doing that first job that Han and Chewie do with Jabba. I'd be thrilled. I also don't think that's going to happen. And one of the gifts of Solo, and it's great that so many people are focusing on it, is it did introduce these other characters and these other threads. So I'm really glad that we are all, that it seems like so many fans are so excited about them. I think a big part of this with the expectations with these characters in particular, like Kira and Enfys Nest, is there's this balancing act where you introduce a character that is fascinating, has story to tell, played by a phenomenal actor, and you have that instinct of like, I want their story. I want them to be the focus. It gets even more powerful to me when there are issues of representation in it, of give them their story and tell it fully. But then there's that part of like, if they show up in Mando or Andor and it's a scene, that tension of like, are we okay with seeing them as just a guest in someone else's story? And I think like I think that would have been a bigger tension with Ahsoka if her own series hadn't been announced so quickly, you know, afterward of like, oh, that's where Ahsoka is. She's a guest in somebody else's story. But I think that's one of the hardest things is you fall in love with a character and you kind of want, if you're all in Star Wars fans like we are, or a lot of our listeners are, most of our listeners, you want them to have their whole own story. And I think that's the biggest tension for me. Final thought, I think confronting fear is the destiny of a Jedi and confronting expectations is the destiny of a Star Wars fan. It's just always going to be there. And we're just always going to have to adjust to, you know, what we want versus having some patience.
I think you just said another Force Center thesis statement sentence there. That's a little bit of fear too, right? A little fear of giving it all up there, but I really agree with that there. And yeah, and you said something earlier that actually kind of scared me, Joseph, that we are talking about dreaming about series that we could hear come out in 2028. Uh-huh. Like, please time. No.
It's cruel.
Yeah, it is. This on the 20th anniversary of the Lucasfilm sale, Disney is our new Enfys Nest series. No. Possible. Well, that is a look at Star Wars news. Before we get out of here real quick, we got a fun This Week in Star Wars History, looking ahead to Star Wars past. And on June 7th, 1977, speaking of time, Kenner Products Company out of Cincinnati, Ohio, announced that they had signed a deal with 20th Century Fox and the Star Wars Corp to produce Star Wars toys, games, crafts, and more. I say announced because the deal was obviously put together a little bit before the movie came out. The trades announced the deal the following day. Though the deal had been negotiated and signed before the release, we all know that Kenner infamously couldn't get figures out until the spring of 1978 or thereabouts, depending on how your mail worked in the city you were in at that time, the empty box campaign. Look, we could spend hours talking about the legacy of Star Wars Kenner figures, Star Wars toys overall, but let's go back to our beginnings with them. Jen, Joseph, and I had a lot of chances over the last couple of years to just do a Star Wars ranked series on our favorite figures from each line. And we've told some stories here and there, but we want to start with you. What are some of your earliest memories of the classic Kenner line of Star Wars toys and other Star Wars memorabilia?
Yeah, I mean, for me, Kenner was Star Wars because I only remember, remember watching the movie in the theater. I was young. Yeah. So it was like the commercials, it was the toys, it was a merchandise that really represented Star Wars and allowed me to escape and retell those stories. And as a kid, I loved Return of the Jedi, and I believe it was my cousin who had the Kenner Ewok Village, and it was so cool, and I wanted it, and my parents didn't get me because at the time, getting toys was not like how it is now. Sometimes you would have to look through a catalog at Gemco, or if your parents would have to wait in line, or if it was a really sought after toy, and I just don't really remember going to the store that often. I think my dad waited in line for a Cabbage Patch for me. So it was just where anytime I would be able to come in contact with the toys, usually through my cousin Patrick, who was a big Star Wars fan, and I would be able to play with his toys. And that was it kind of felt a little bit, I felt very lucky, and he didn't let me play with all of his action figures. He kept some away from me. And I vowed to one day get them, and now here we are, and now I don't let my children play with them because they are collectibles.
The cycle of life.
The cycle of life. Yes, exactly.
The cycle of life indeed. Yeah, we've discussed some of our memories here recently, and so some of the stories get repeated, but my friend's parents bringing down his Darth Vader and C-3PO figure collector boxes the back in the day, those ones, and yes. Showing me and my dad the figures because I was kind of sitting alone at a party at a bunch of families at a house, and I was just in the couch by myself, which is still something I do at parties. that and buying the Bespin security guard early on and all those kind of things. But I was trying to really think for myself of a different story to tell, and one of them is just being with some cousins a little older than me at another family event, and this is where I've made jokes before, but they had Star Wars figures. They had Buck Rogers and Battlestar Galactica figures from that era. So I thought all of them were together and was confused when I would, a little bit older watching Star Wars and going, well, where's that robot dog that comes along? Where's the one the little robot that's giggity, 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 where's that guy? It's that's just from TV. Got it. But I do remember an early memory of what would now be, Luke and X-Wing pilot kind of gear of just seeing an X-Wing pilot, that bright orange, and being young. This is three or four, and just fixating on that. And then later on, it's the G.I. Joe figures that I start going to a little bit first, start actually asking for those at Christmas, and Transformers and everything. And in that is obviously Star Wars, but it wasn't until 83, and G.I. Joe starts hitting about 82, if memory serves. It was 83 that I started actively asking for Star Wars figures, but it's that early memory of, that the Star Wars one is that guy in orange. And you said, Jen, Kenner is Star Wars in a lot of ways. And so that was an early memory of Star Wars, the orange guy in the weird plane.
That is a great one. I have so many, and many I've shared. So I was trying to really go back to my earliest, and these are those dreams, because these memories that are so old, they're kind of dreamlike.
Yes.
And some of them I know are real because I have some photos, and I verified recently with my parents, with my dad in particular. There was a birthday where I think when Star Wars was really blowing up, and there's pictures of me with the Star Wars wrapping. And losing my little kid mind. And I remember getting two Chewbaccas, because I'm sure my relatives are just he wants the plastic doll, the little dolls in the plastic that he wants the monster guy. I don't know why. Like, I had sure they had zero idea of what this was or why it made me happy. But I remember eating two Chewbaccas and being happy because I could share one with my brother. And the other really foggy memory, and I think this is true. It might not be. It might be a fantasy I had. I remember going to a mall and not wanting to stop playing with my figures. So I think I had some kind of overalls with lots of pockets. So just like loading them up in my pockets.
Oh, yeah. That's crazy.
And I think I probably lost some because I know I had some like early on, you know, before I have clear memories that I lost. So I'm sure I was just walking around a mall with Oshkoshes on, just pockets overflowing with Luke and Leia.
That's
not wanting to be without my friends.
That's a plot of Stranger Things, right? Is that one of the episodes? Yeah.
It should be. Yeah. It is, as I always say, the love of Star Wars and the figures is early and deep.
Mm-hmm. It truly is. Wonderful memories. Thanks for sharing. Love that story. And yes, Kenner. Wow. Can't believe there was a time where Kenner Star Wars figures had yet to exist, but they're there forever as Star Wars Celebration showed. I'm still, Joseph gifted me the Emperor's Royal Guard Kenner figure at Star Wars Celebration. He came back and said, I got something for you here. And it has not gone on my shelf where I was going to display it. It's in my hands now. It's my little podcast buddy right now. Guarding my Sith-like words on this podcast, I guess. I don't know. We are out of here for this episode. Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for supporting. Thank you all for the nice words. Look, nice words, you know, it means a lot. And we don't simply, you know, don't do the show just for your nice words, but we're getting a lot of nice tweets and the love that was felt at Celebration. That's a very specific love. I actually had it happen this weekend. At an event, I actually want to shout out, if anyone watches the Schmodown, Adam Collins, a former Schmodown trivia champion, a fan and a listener, and he said some really nice words to me about how the show affects him as a fan, and we really appreciate that. So for those who are relatively new, you might be listening because of the Kenobi show, welcome aboard. Here's where we are, where we can be found. We're on Twitter at Force Center Pod. We're on Instagram and YouTube as well. We replay episodes on YouTube, the audio versions only. Then about once a month, we fire up the cameras to do a Q&A. More things on the way there as we just kind of focus always on podcasts first. But hey, you know, YouTube's been a fun place to explore as well recently because, you know, I don't know, it's worked for some people in the past. Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. We can be found on Acast, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts. If you're on Apple Podcasts, hey, go ahead and give us a review. We really appreciate that. Helps grow the show. Merch at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. You can get the aforementioned Speculate Responsibly t-shirt there. Patreon.com/ForceCenter is where you can go support us directly. Personal plugs and donation time. You can find me at Ken Napsok and my website, kennapsok.com. I'll actually be, if you're local and you're listening this week and you're Burbank, SoCal local, I'll actually be doing a comedy show in a toy store this Friday night, June 10th, the Mint on Card show by our good friend Jeff May. So come on out and watch me try to tell some jokes in front of Palpatine figures. It'll work well there.
That's great.
Absolutely there. So Jen, what do you got there? Where can they find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Jennifer Landa and my TikTok at Jennifer Landa 1138. Don't forget to vote Tuesday, June 7th. And please go watch the video, the celebration video. Like, comment, subscribe. It's on the Disney Plus YouTube channel. I'd really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And I did my due diligence and actually wrote down where I wanted to highlight for a website or a charity of choice. It is Pride Month here. I love supporting and have supported in the past and will always support again, the Trevor Project at thetrevorproject.org. So head on over there and help them build a deserving, you know, a welcoming, loving world, as they say on their website for, the LGBTQ plus community there. So I always recommend the trevorproject.org. Jennifer, if you got one, go back to you or I can go to Joseph.
No, that's a great one.
Great. Joseph, take us home.
Well, I just smashed the like button on Jennifer's wonderful video, and I think everyone else should smash that like button. And really want to see Jennifer get more of this work because you're so great at asking good questions and just communicating the joy of Star Wars while also just being a total pro. It's exactly what is needed out there, I think. So if you want to check out the other things I'm doing, you can check out my website at josephscrimshaw.com. And I am on all the social media, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok is at Joseph Scrimshaw. I'll be sharing more action figures. If you're in California and you are listening today as we drop this episode, yes, please turn in your ballot. And the thing that I want to continue to support is the website, the effort of Vote Forward. You write letters to voters encouraging them to use their power. If you're interested, you can find out more at their website. Just Google Vote Forward.
Do it, my friends. Vote. Vote for Padme. She wants you to do it there. All right, that is it for this week. So for Kira, Infus Nest, and John Kasdan, we'll throw it in there for him as well, and Filoni and his dreams. We'll see you next time here on Force Center.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.